This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few
more. Rosebud. Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 369.
Heyo!
Three of our favorite numbers, right, guys?
The three?
Really?
No, that's fair. All right. Okay. I don't know how a 369 would work.
Well, that's true.
But
you're willing to,
give it a go.
Give it the old college try.
That's right. And if you're ever going to try it, that's the spot.
College is the
yes,
time. Yes.
Totally. I also really like that sequence. Like my OCD is kicking in like 3, 6, 9. Yeah. That's really nice.
Dance so fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a milestone.
A mild stone.
Mild stone. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess let's go around real quick before I forget and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Brad.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. You're listening to Real Spoilers After Dark. After Real Darker.
That's right.
Because it's an hour later.
Real Spoilers.
Ooh, is this the 50 Shades episode? Ooh, where we brought Brad on to talk about his Red Room?
Four dudes.
Four dudes talking about 50 Shades. It's what you've been jonesing for.
There has been a lot of chatter, though.
We will get to it.
I'm telling you, boys are you better get on the ball.
We're waiting for the VOD. I think it's the other way around.
That's fair.
They're supposed to get on the so quick shameless
on the Sibian.
Quick shameless butt plugs. Speaking of 50 Shades.
Oh my God.
If you ever want to know what we really sound like off the air,
you're getting dangerously close.
Dan's off for the next 3 weeks. Okay, you're in.
You
for
got
a treat.
It.
That. That final episode before Dan comes back is just going to sound like a test of the emergency broadcast system. It's just going to be
just one long bagonk.
Yes.
We're going to have to like buy multiple chickens because one's going to get like tired before the end of the show. It's gonna, like, and dust will just come out when it tries to talk.
And at least two of them will be choked.
That's right. Have no fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll be like the penguin in Toy Story 2 where his squeaker
Wheezy.
Broke.
I thought
yeah,
of that too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. The least you could do is go and write a review. We don't charge you nothing.
Nope.
So go and knock that out. Cross it off your list of things to do, and then when we beg for it every week, you can be like, did it.
It's already done it.
They're not talking to me because I'm ahead of the curve.
You want those kids where it's like, I did the work. Why don't you do the work? So they stop saying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I did the right thing. So do the right thing, will you? So you can also share the show with your friends and loved ones, facebook.com/realspoilers. So there, we'll get all that out of the way, which we have now done. And we will move on. Ready Player One, have at it.
So have we all seen the book or read the book?
I have not.
I have.
I have.
Yes. I have too. So three of the four of us at least have read the book.
I have.
Well, Joe doesn't read, so that's fair.
I read. Just not
well,
books.
The picture books.
Yeah. And he now has the audiobook.
I do have the audiobook. Nice. Thanks to Brad. He shot me the files.
Who reads the audiobook?
I do.
No.
I read along with it.
Yeah, no. Who's the voice? Is it
Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's great.
It's really
yeah.
good.
I was yeah. just like, yeah.
I went back
like
and forth.
Grade school.
Because your Kindle's connected, which is really cool. When you purchase it, as I did on Audible, it connects to your book, which I purchased on Amazon.
Oh, nice.
And so it saves your place. So you can listen in the car, then go home and read the book. And
oh,
it tracks really well. So it's a neat feature.
My audiobook doesn't do that for you.
That's
Sorry.
Fine. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I take it that was a cheaper option than the
iPhone. Oh, it was super cheap.
Okay. Yeah. I won't say, I'm just saying it was probably discounted.
He had a Groupon. Yeah. Let's just leave it at that. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it will be great because we can, I know Brad's a huge fan of the book. He read it before me. I enjoyed it. You know, and you've seen the movie twice.
Yes.
So you'll be able to add a lot of input when it comes to the book and the movie, maybe some things that we didn't even catch because you were probably able to spot more Easter eggs the second time around, I would say.
For the most part, I think. Yeah. I had to do a little catch up today on, because I listened to it back in January when I started my workout. So I think there's parts that I probably missed because my workout was a lot harder than it was now. Like I'm running more 20-minute spurts now so I can listen regularly. But before then it was, you know, off and on, off
and
on.
Did you just humble brag about your workouts?
No. I was trying to explain why not in the slightest. Sorry, I didn't mean to come off that way. But what I'm saying is there are parts where, like, I'm zoning out trying to pay attention to the audiobook so that, like, the runner's my
high. It's the runner's high.
I was going to say, tell you all about it. Like, there's no point in trying to talk about all of the references because it's impossible.
They're fast.
Like,
and
there are some big ones that we see a lot of, but for the most part, it's just like glimpses, this like Harley and the Arkham Knight. And there's all kinds
of stuff.
But
those are even more obvious than the stuff that, like, they pan past 15 references. Like,
yeah. Oh, totally.
I mean, this is a pop culture nerds.
80s. I would say like 80s to early 90s pop culture.
But also updated for, like, you may have not even caught the modern references, right?
Probably.
Because although the book is heavily 80s influenced, a lot of people are complaining because they watched the trailer and they're like, oh my God, they put Overwatch and Minecraft in there. But here's the deal, guys. They're not just trying to sell it to the 30 to 35 year old white male demographic. This is a Steven Spielberg movie where they want to make money.
Right.
You got to update it for the kids, and they have to have stuff to enjoy too. So, like, I have no problem with them throwing in
like
modern
Halo and
I mean, 80s pop culture, that's great, and we grew up with it. But I realize also that we're not the only people seeing this movie.
So can we say that the bad guy is Avatar was Superman?
God, it looked like him, didn't it?
Right.
In a suit,
he looked just like Superman.
That was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, he had the skin curl. He had the whole thing. I was just like, Warner Brothers again, making Superman to be the bad guy. This entire thing.
That's fine. I mean, I did not connect that, but I can kind of see that.
There's a resemblance. Yeah.
So three of us read the book, and, you know, we're anxious to see the movie and see how they adapted it. You saw the movie first, but you were anxious enough to read the book, which is cool.
Well,
so
I haven't read it yet, but I'm gonna read it.
Well, you're anxious to see
it. I am anxious to read it, yes.
So it's kind of cool that...
Very different.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, I'm totally cool with that.
But it'll be interesting to check in with you and see the reverse reaction, because I know, of course, from the book readers, you're going to get that immediate reaction about, you know, you either love the changes or you hate that they changed anything, which... I guess some people don't understand. You can't take 15 hours of reading and turn it into a 2-hour movie.
I've never understood.
Equally. Right.
You know, like, with the exception of Gone Girl, that I think was pretty faithful to the book.
It was.
Like Jurassic Park
is totally different.
It's enough. It's but
it's, to, they use the book as a like that's
blueprints.
A good idea. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like we'll take it from here.
And as good as like and that. You didn't like Jurassic Park, do you?
What's that?
Do you like Jurassic Park?
The first
one? Who doesn't like Jurassic Park?
It was okay.
Oh, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
it didn't blow me away.
I think that's one of the best movies.
But I was like 25 when I saw it. You saw it when you were 10.
But you watch it now, and those effects,
it holds up.
It's crazy.
I watched it before the last one came out, and I was really surprised how well the effects held up.
I mean, that was the groundwork of ILM. Like, that's... You know what I mean? ILM does...
I think Star Wars was the groundwork of
ILM. That's the groundwork, but what I mean was
The groundwork for the groundwork.
Right, yeah.
What I mean, I shouldn't have said groundwork. That's not what I meant. But, like, that was ILM.
I thought that was Stan Winston.
Well, the practical. Stan Winston's the one that said, I'm going to be extinct.
And he was right.
Because of the CG.
Yeah.
Because it looks so realistic.
Stan Winston's also dead.
Well,
so
he was also right.
In both
eventually,
senses of the word.
Yeah. Yes. But, I mean, Jurassic Park was revolutionary with the computer-generated effects that they created and really brought...
But part of the reason they look so good is because they would cut back to real stuff.
Yep. That whole scene of those kids in the car with the T-Rex bouncing, like, that's that's still a terrifying scene because it's so real. As real as it can
be. But even the first dinosaurs we see, and not to get too off track, but even the first ones we see, clearly they're not real, but if they don't blend in with the trees and the like, and that's computers from the from 1993.
We're using CRT monitors.
Yeah, yeah, so right. I mean, it's amazing that now in 4K and high definition, that movie holds up from 1993 effects. Look at other movies from 93. That's ILM,
I'm
you know?
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some good stuff. I think Primal Fear is 93.
I'm just saying,
but
like,
no
look
CG
at CG.
In that movie.
It's
like, that's a weird one to go to, but okay.
Yeah. Richard Gere?
Yeah.
Well, they had to get that gerbil out of his mouth.
Yeah, those gerbils were not CGI.
So, what a weird rumor to be stuck with.
Right?
Or not stuck with if it's not a rumor.
Talk to Rod Stewart about weird rumors.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah.
So Ready Player One.
Yeah. So we're first introduced to our main character. I can't remember his name.
Wade Watts.
Thank you. I also find it funny that the guy who was Scott Summers is also Wade Watts. Yeah.
Like, is that who that is?
He's Scott Summers from the... Yeah. Okay.
So I will say the interesting thing about this, like, I wasn't necessarily crazy about the casting because I don't think he looks like Wade is described in the book.
So how do they describe him?
I mean, he's supposed to be overweight.
He's more overweight.
I mean, his avatar is supposed to, like, you know, soup him up and to be super, you know, cool and in shape or whatever. And so that's kind of a big part of it. So, like, when I saw the casting, I was like, I mean, I guess. But here's the deal. This movie is like 80% animated.
Right.
Yeah. This could be an animated movie. Like, this is a CG movie with some humans in it.
Right.
So, like, he's doing a voice. So it doesn't really bother me because he's a voice actor a couple kicks.
I think he does well with being shy, though, at least in the real world.
I
like,
can
he's
see
very,
that.
He's really timid with his.
He's
with
the,
his
weak, the yeah. weakest part of the
I think
movie,
he was. Maybe. So, like, yeah. The girl who plays Artemis was on Bates Motel. Which, if you haven't seen, do that.
I thought she was really good.
She was great. Like, she was the high spot for me.
Yeah, she was great in Thoroughbreds, too.
I mean, it's just like, I just think that, I mean, he was fine, and as a voice actor, he was fine. I didn't care for his live action stuff, but it's a very small part of the movie.
There's
so.
Very little live action.
But even the voice stuff, I just, like, when he's supposed to be given that rousing speech to rally the troops, I'm, like, not feeling it.
Yeah. He's very nondescript.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that stands out about his voice.
Yeah. He doesn't. I was just like, I didn't even know he was the X-Men guy. I'm just like, Yeah.
That's because, you know.
It's those X-Men.
It's those
movies,
X-Men.
Right?
So, you know.
So, but anyway, so a little different from the book. But again, they're going into the Oasis and they're picking avatars. So you're getting a voice and you're getting this creation, which, you know, looks kind of like I would imagine. I mean, the look of everything in the Oasis, I thought was really cool. So as far as his casting, you know, it's fine for
it didn't make or break the movie,
but you get a pretty cool tracking shot.
Killer tracking shot.
The stacks is where, you know, where these people live, same as the book, and it's these trailers that are just vertically, I mean, they're just going one on top of the other into these huge literal stacks of like crappy trailers,
right?
And he's like climbing down them and taking a rope and carabining down, and the camera follows him, and you see his neighbors, and I thought it was a really cool shot. I mean, Spielberg knows how to do this stuff, and he has an eye for it.
He's going places.
One of these days, that Stevie kid is going
to
be good.
Stefan, I think, is what he prefers to be called. Yeah.
I really liked the visuals. You know, I think as far as, you know, a lot of times you get book readers saying, oh, that's not what I had in my head. I mean, this movie, as far as what I imagined, because so much actually exists because it's pop culture. And then the other part, like with the stacks and the characters and everything, I'm like, this movie held up. Like, I thought it was
a hell of a looking movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even in the real world stuff, I thought it was a killer looking movie.
Yeah.
So he goes about his day. He leaves who we later find out to be his sister and her crazy DEA FBI boyfriend. Nothing?
What?
This is the bad guy from Hurricane Heist, is the boyfriend.
Is it?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
The guy with the mullet is the bad guy.
Yes, I was
not
okay.
Liam
that's,
Neeson.
Yes,
not Liam
yeah,
Neeson.
Yeah, yeah,
the,
yeah.
He's the boyfriend
that,
in this.
The Irish guy, yeah.
Yes.
So I saw him with that weird like mullet thing. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I know this guy.
He's the bad guy from Hurricane Heist.
Yeah. Ugh.
And now he's in a massive movie. So good for him.
So it's
That was the one for them, one for him.
Yeah.
That's what this was.
I don't think he gets to make those choices.
He doesn't.
He gets to make one for my rent.
Yeah. So that's his aunt.
His aunt.
And her boyfriend. That's why I was confused.
Yeah, I didn't know he was talking about.
But,
right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
He lives with his aunt.
Right.
And she has a jerk boyfriend.
Right. Yeah. So he goes and kind of, you know, he has his own little trailer that he's got tucked away.
First of all, I would not be sleeping on the washing machine if I had this trailer with my stuff. Like,
yeah, I would
why
just
would
go
you
to the trailer.
Not just go there and live?
Just go hang out in your
did
trailer.
Did anyone? I was just like.
I did think that was weird that he was. We've seen the trailer.
Yeah.
We know that he has a spot to go, but he's still going to hang out on the washing
machine. But his room is a blanket on top of a washing machine.
I don't know if he could. I don't remember if he ever stayed.
I think I would rather sleep on the floor than a running washing machine. Well, maybe not
he's
a
horny teenager.
Right, that's true.
But he was face up.
That's also the problem. Yeah. Well, we saw him. We don't know what.
I just thought it was strange to make him have this trailer full of all his. I mean, it's not like he shares that. It's all his gear. People would steal it. Like, he goes to this trailer whenever he wants to use his stuff. So it's like, just sleep there. Screw the
whatever.
Paying rent or whatever.
They're crazy. Anyway. So, this is where our first trip into the Oasis. We're explained that there were these two creators and the world had gotten pretty crappy on the outside.
This is 2045. Okay. Yeah.
Who is the guy who plays the main creator?
It's the guy, Mark Rylance.
Why do I know?
Dunkirk. The boat captain.
And he got an Oscar for Bridge of Spies a couple of years ago.
Okay, all right.
Oh, that's how he ended up a Spielberg movie.
That's exactly it.
And he's also impersonating Rick Moranis from Ghostbusters.
I was thinking the same. He's doing a very good Rick Moranis impression.
Yeah. I think he's also impersonating, what's his name, Jim from the Harry Potter movies. The what's his name? Jim
Parsons.
Yes, Jim from Harry Potter. I mean, Sheldon probably does dress up like Harry Potter from time to time. But what's that actor's name? The older British guy. He's one of the professors. Jim Broadbent? No, that's the young guy.
I don't know.
Anyway, but it's just like, it was weird. I was trying to figure out what Rylance was doing with this impression thing. And to me, Rylance is a good actor, but he was the weak point to me. I did not like his.
Oh, I know. Probably.
I didn't like the thing he was doing. Yeah. But it didn't work for me.
I didn't not like it.
It intermittently worked for me. Yeah. It was a little over the top.
Yeah.
And it's also.
His stammering, I'm a nerd and I'm really socially awkward. I'm like, come on. Like, tone it back a little bit. You're the richest trillionaire in the world. Yeah. And like, I get that you're a nerd, but you'd probably be a little different than that.
Maybe
it didn't work.
I think the problem is, I think I would have bought that when they did the flashbacks and he's supposed to be 20 or 25.
Right. First doing
but he lives to be like 65 or so by the looks of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think he would have still been like that then, because Bill Gates starts like that and he's not like that now. And like, I mean, people will tell you, like, when you first met Bill Gates a million years ago, he was very much socially awkward, and now he's a lot more. He's been forced to navigate in a world and develop some social skills that he didn't have previously.
You develop over time,
and,
but if he shut himself off, like if he just never really had any.
Yeah, I feel like maybe he just spent more time in his creation and
that's
not
what I felt about
developing
it.
Those.
A lot
social
of people love Rylance's performance in this. I've seen a lot of people say he's a genius and he's their favorite part. I just personally, anytime he came on screen with that, it didn't work for me.
Yeah,
but
I didn't love it. And I didn't hate it. Yeah. It was.
I thought Simon Pegg was really good. How weird was it to hear Simon Pegg with an American accent?
There was a movie.
It was off-putting.
It was so strange. And he's good. It's not a bad accent, but it's Simon Pegg, and you know what Simon Pegg sounds like. Does not sound like Simon Pegg in this movie.
There was a movie, I think, right after Shaun of the Dead with what's his name from Friends? Ross.
David Schwimmer.
Yes. Where I think he plays a hitman.
Is that like the Crime Caper one?
Yes.
I've seen that.
And he has an American accent in that, and I was like, I don't like it.
Yeah. It's just weird. Again, not bad, but I'm like, that's not, it's coming out of his face. Right. That doesn't like, this isn't.
But then he drifts into the, we hear him later with the British accent, and I was like, that's pretty brilliant, because I didn't put it together.
No, I didn't either.
At all.
That was a good.
A little head fake.
It was. Yeah. I dug that.
Right. So.
So we see how they create. What's the game company called?
I don't know.
Gregorius Games.
Gregorius Games. Yeah. It's like, it's kind of a weird name. But we learn that the background is that you've got these two founders, basically, and Mark Rylance, he plays a guy that basically, very socially awkward, but he eventually kicks Og, played by Simon Pegg, out of the equation,
right?
And he becomes a trillionaire. He's the richest person in the world, and he's created this oasis that everyone uses to escape. So we see in the beginning, old people, young people, they're jumping around their house, they're in the streets. Everyone goes to the oasis,
right?
And
I like the one chick pretending to be a stripper,
right?
Oh,
yeah,
so like,
I
like the fact that they alluded to the dirty things people would do,
right?
Because
let's be honest,
but it wasn't like it's but not to the point that you can't bring your kids to the movie.
Right. No, not at all. Because, yeah. I mean, the throwaway, aside from the pole, which isn't a dirty thing, but we know what they're talking about, is he's going through Minecraft land. He's going through the
casino.
He's going through all this stuff. And then he goes by a motel, and he's like, you can do anything you want. He's like, you can go in there and do what you do there. And then he moves on. But, like, you get it. That's a motel for...
There's a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
I also, the curator says no mature content.
I was gonna talk about that, too. Yeah. That, like, no adult avatars
past
or something like that.
Here or whatever. So we go into the Oasis, and you are, I mean, as soon as you're in, you are bombarded with references and all kinds of every
RoboCops walking around randomly. I loved that. Like it, but it's like not camera center for 10 seconds. It's
no, like you just walking
Wreck-It
past.
Ralph. It's the same scene from Wreck-It Ralph when they're in the station, right?
Right.
And you see all the people walking around. You see people walking like in the street and just like you do in MMORPGs online, there's always the hub. There's the whatever you call that main center place that all the characters can meet and then they go on their quests.
Right.
When you're at that part of the game, you just see random people for split seconds, and it's great, and it's going to be a fun one to get on Blu-ray and freeze and
look at all
the
stuff.
Pick them apart.
Right. So he's just kind of like you create friendships in here, and he's like, that's my best friend over there. That's H, and H is like this giant Hulk, half like cybernetic thing, and you know.
You can be the Oasis.
You can change, you can do it, but if you get killed in the Oasis... You lose all of your coins, you lose all of your stuff, and you have to start back.
There's
from
no
zero.
Save points.
There's
so
no
to speak.
Save points,
so,
right.
But also, your imagination is the limit, just like in the book. So anything that you can imagine, and that's why they show you the variety of things you can do, because when you go to the Oasis, you can do anything or be anything.
Right.
And so people all over the world have adopted this, and that's why the Mark Rylance character is the richest person in the world, because
everyone's using
this. And so, they build their avatars to be who they want to be. And so that's why Z is, you know, the main character. That's why he has built this, you know, good looking kind of like, I don't know if it's an anime.
I would say
inspired,
like an emo looking anime.
Yeah, it looks like something out of Final Fantasy kind of a character for himself. And then H has this huge robot, cybernetic, awesome looking guy. You escape and you be who you want to be. But there's no... save points. So it's when it's game over, I'm sure you can start again, but then you have no money, no items.
Right.
Everything.
You lose everything.
And everything, they don't really allude this, I don't think, too much in the movie, but in the book, those credits are like so valuable. Like people spend their real cash, whatever it is.
Well, they
do
reference that because
the same way that people do it with World of Warcraft now. Yeah. Like those, but because basically the entire world, this is their playground,
that's the valuable currency.
Things have real currency in
right.
this game. Yeah.
Well, they even the mom's boyfriend gets killed in a game, and he's just like, "I spent all of our money to buy these
credits."
Show you a guy trying to commit suicide because he loses all his stuff.
So I thought that was hilarious.
I thought he was going to do it, and I'm like, this is getting dark.
Yeah. Oh no,
he was about to.
I'm sorry.
It's Black Mirror.
Yeah, it's hilarious because he doesn't do it. You know what I mean? Like, if
they
does do it,
over, yeah.
Right. Like, the guy,
everybody knows the real comedy is an attempted suicide.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
But so
much funnier.
That's the point of this, is they make it very clear. This is in the intro with Wade doing the narration, is that you spend so much time and so much money on building these characters up that if you have to start over, I mean, some people take it as their life is over because they've accumulated this character and items and gear. And
people that play games.
That's World of Warcraft.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, so
Brad gets it.
I don't know what that was.
How many times have you attempted?
No.
Moving on.
He's like, but wait, I have. Oh, awkward.
Oh no.
Awkward.
So he's just, we go in and we find out that before the creator, I can't think of the guy's name.
James Halliday.
Halliday?
Yeah. Halliday.
Halliday, before he died, he put an Easter egg into the game. And if you find these, if you complete these three quests and find these three keys, you are granted, 40%?
No, you own it.
Is that what it was?
You own
it's yours.
All his shares.
All of it.
I mean, he is a
trillionaire. Right, because
you get Halliday's shares.
You get everything.
In Gregorius Games. And take.
And
it's very similar to a little film called Willy Wonka.
Yeah,
Willy, I mean, even when they set up the narration and Halliday as his character, Anorak, is talking about the thing,
right.
It's like... it just in my head I'm seeing.
Does the book
Willy
come
Wonka.
Off as Willy Wonka?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's written right. as it's Willy. This is Willy Wonka.
Okay.
You know, for nerds and pop
yeah,
culture.
That's fair.
But yeah, so if you beat the quest and like I guess Charlie and they didn't know what they were doing, so we know what the goal is.
Right.
But it's the same concept where you get to take over the chocolate
take
factory,
over the whole thing.
You know?
So and nobody's been able to get past
the first
one.
No right. one's even gotten one key, and it's been 2 or 3 years that they've been trying. It's been years.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been years. So let's talk about this first challenge. Shoo! Holy crap. Like talk about like all movies we've seen this year. This may be my favorite scene.
So standalone beats the book.
Yeah, the book.
I mean, this race scene, like, I I will say I enjoyed this movie, but nothing even comes close to this race scene. Like,
No.
I
no,
mean, there's some really cool stuff, but
Spielberg went,
oh, my
balls
bananas.
To the wall.
I mean, to kick it
oh,
off.
Oh, bananas. I see what you did there.
And the first, like, action set
right.
piece of this movie is this race where, first of all, you've got the Batmobile. You've got the Mach
66
5.
Batmobile. 66,
yeah,
yep.
you've
yeah.
got the Mach 5. You've got, I mean,
got
Big
the
Akira bike. You've got the Akira bike. You've yep. got so much stuff going on.
The DeLorean.
Well, and the DeLorean is yeah. Wade's car, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But they're racing in this nonstop action-packed ramps, buzzsaws, shortcuts, blowing people up. Like
King
it is
Kong.
A, yes, it is a visual marvel. Rexy from Jurassic Park.
I also find it interesting. I was wondering, like, when you get those references, like, how do you afford all of these references? That King Kong does not look like the King Kong from the movie we just saw last summer.
Sure.
It looks like the Peter Jackson well, King Kong
do you
that
notice
Warner Brothers
all these,
owns the rights
Warner,
to.
Right. Do you right. notice that all these, the new King Kong is Warner Brothers.
Oh, really?
As well.
Yeah, I don't think yeah. it's ever changed
Same
proper, hands.
Same
Well, then that's interesting
studio.
That it wouldn't look like...
Was it the Peter Jackson ones, or was it the one from the...
I think it's the older one.
Or was it the one like from the 70s?
Yeah. Oh, I
They're
thought it was the Peter Jackson
the old
one.
No, it's... I think it's... Again...
You talking about the one with Jessica Lange?
Yeah.
Probably. I think it was the older one.
Mm.
But you have a lot of WB properties. So, like, even in the intro, and, I mean, I'm a Batman fan. I love it. But, you know, you can do anything.
You can
go to Minecraft.
Climbing.
You can go mountain climbing with Batman. Yeah. Like, and
but
that
also,
was
like, you see the Arkham Knight yeah. from the last Arkham game. You see yeah. the...
You see Harley,
Harley
Quinn Arkham
You
Knight.
See the Joker.
Yeah.
The Joker's in there with Harley at one yeah. point.
It's so a lot of WB references.
Stupid, evil Superman.
So yeah,
yeah,
obviously
lots of WB
it's WB,
stuff.
So it makes sense. But they've got a lot of good pop culture.
They do.
So.
Do they have RoboCop? Is that them?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, and there's also stuff that I mean, there's that's the T-Rex from Jurassic
it
Park.
Is. Yeah,
so
but that's
Steven
Spielberg.
Like, but he also said he wasn't going to do self-referential stuff. I think that's the closest they get.
I think that's as close.
The set designers snuck in stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. There's like a gremlin at one point, yeah. and they said that it was like a constant battle. They were sneaking stuff yeah. in, and
he
was like,
it?
"Nice try."
Yeah. Oh,
and he,
that
and
sucks.
He booted out.
That's I mean, kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I love that T-Rex though. I mean, that is the T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
Same sound.
And I love Jurassic
Who did,
Park.
Did John Williams do the score for this?
No. Yeah. Well, no, not this. I'm sorry.
Because there's a lot of John Williams.
Oh,
sounding well, a lot of John Williams sounding yeah. stuff.
I think they had John Williams at the start, but then they switched to somebody else. If I remember correctly, I don't.
Not sure.
I can't verify.
But
yeah.
this race scene, I was
it's
like,
insane.
I was so amped up. Like they set the bar high, and again, there's other cool stuff we'll get to. But I don't think anything touched that. That was.
I think the final scene is pretty crazy pants.
Yeah,
but. So, I won't see movies in IMAX or 3D.
Yeah,
I knew going into this, I should probably see, like, this is the movie that, if I'm going to do it, this is the one I should do it. If you're going to do it.
Especially since it's 80% animated, that means the 3D is going
like,
to be created in the computer.
Did,
so.
Did you anybody else do it?
Did not.
I
would do IMAX, though. I wouldn't do 3D.
I did it in both.
But how was 3D?
Man, it was awesome.
Was it cool?
Yeah, it was
when it's
so
made,
cool.
When it's an animated, I mean, all the Pixar stuff that's in 3D, like 3D CGI is cool because
I feel like the
computer
I feel like the Pixar stuff doesn't need to be in 3D. I see what you're saying. I get it. But I don't think it needs to be in 3D.
I agree.
I don't think anything needs to be in 3D.
This one, but the 3D, like, again, cool. I won't do it often. I might do it for Avengers because I saw the stupid trailer in 3D. I was like,
that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's
pretty
no
cool.
thanks.
Yeah, so, and nobody can win. Like, the end of the, they always get stuck. Kong smashes the bridge, and they're stuck.
Like, and you don't see him. So he goes, after he smashes the bridge to the final gate that says the finish, you don't see him, but they've been doing this over and over. So he catches up with this Artemis, who is, they don't really go into it too much, but she's this blogger. She does videos
in the book. She's famous.
She's very famous. Yeah. And Wade instantly, he looks over and he's like, that's Artemis.
He's like,
love at first sight.
Raul Julia also knew it was Artemis. That's Artemis buzzing in.
Yeah. Well, he's a computer. I mean, so he sees her and he knows it. And so she's going to try to attempt this jump. But the thing is, like we said, once you die, you're dead. And she's this famous person with all these upgrades and cool vehicles. He knows, like, if she dies and she doesn't know she's going to, it's game over for her. So he saves her. He jumps and catches her. And at first I was like, oh crap. She had a way to beat it and he was going to screw it up.
Right.
But really Kong jumps up and grabs you and
smashes the bike and destroys the bike. So
that was kind of a cool moment.
It was very cool.
She ends up, she's mad, but she like respects him after seeing that. And
I do like where she's like, I'll catch you later, McFly. That was good. That was a good little line. I also, when he goes on the, we'll get to it, but when he goes to the date, and he, before they even say Buckaroo Banzai, and I was like, that's funny. He's wearing the suit from Buckaroo Banzai. And the guy's just like, really? Buckaroo Banzai? I was like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff.
I love that movie.
Well, in the book, too, I feel like there was a lot more like cachet for picking the deep cuts.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. And so Buckaroo Banzai is a little bit of a deeper cut than like, I like Back to the Future.
Right, yeah.
And Back to the Future is great.
Yeah. But the suit that Peter Weller wears from Buckaroo Banzai is a pretty deep cut.
Yeah. Especially, I'm thinking, another 50 years in the future.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, especially when even she is just like, Buckaroo Banzai. He's like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, some background, I mean, from the book that you don't get is that that Wade and, you know, is known as Z. He goes, Parzival is his avatar name. He goes by Z. But so Z and H, they get together, they watch old movies. He's watched like Monty Python over 100 times or 1,000 times. I mean, they watch all these pop culture type films over and over. That's their life. So when they are dressing a certain way or modeling their vehicles or these things, they're very influenced by the movies that they watch over and over again.
We should also say that H's car was Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Right. Which I thought was great. Yep.
So yeah. St. Louis reference in there, too.
It is a little bit. Yeah, right. So, yeah, so they have this discussion, and is this where he goes?
Well, they
go to the
H's place. To fix her.
Right. I also, like, when they reference, he's like, what was his favorite line from movies? And he does the line from Lex Luthor in Superman. I was like, that's a good line. Like, you forget how good of a line that is from that movie because obviously Lex Luthor says it.
Right.
Artemis and Wade have a showdown because when they're trying to get to know each other, what's Holiday's favorite movie? What's the other? And Wade has an encyclopedia, encyclopedic knowledge.
That was like the film's way of showing that they have extensive knowledge of James Holiday's pop culture. Mm-hmm. Likes and dislikes and
because
like
everyone is trying to. I mean,
although I didn't like that because
it's too short.
Like, well, and it's too obvious.
Yeah,
like if the whole game is based around what Holiday likes and doesn't like, his favorite movie is going to be like 101. Like everybody's going to know.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It should have been something a much deeper, like, piece of trivia than just what's his favorite movie. Yeah. You know,
that's fair. That's legit.
But they're firing him off. They go through like 20 things, you know, and so Artemis is trying to get a gauge on Wade and Wade.
What is that line? It's just like somebody can read War and Peace and think it's a wonderful piece of literature and another person can read the ingredients off the.
And think it's one person can. What, I think it's an adventure novel.
That's what it is. Yeah.
And then a stick of chewing gum.
And read the and thing and find unlock the secrets of the universe.
That's
and
cool.
I was like, that's a good line. So but also, like, I felt like if your favorite line is, I was like, well, he's going to be the villain of this movie. Like, if your favorite line is
from a villain,
from one of the worst villains, I feel, you know, that should tell you what kind of a person you are. Total head fake. Like, it's just, just one of those lines that he enjoyed. H fixes the bike.
We see the Iron Giant,
which is
great. He's been making a commission of a full scale Iron Giant,
right? Like
people
pay H massive credits for custom pieces, and
he fixes her Akira bike was smashed by King Kong, and he says I can fix it in 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
So like so Z is obviously flubbing and he can't get his bearings around.
Going,
I love that was a good scene where H is looking at their heart rates, and Z's is like 178 and hers is like, you know,
60.
Yeah. Like total chill. So like she's just like, you know, maybe I'll, this is where she's like, you know, I'll catch you later, McFly.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and then he books away and
H is like, that went well.
Yeah, that went well. He was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So then is this where they go to the Hall of Records?
They do introduce. So Holiday, when the competition started 7 years ago or whatever, everyone was packed into the Hall of Memories or Records for Holiday. And it was a recreation based on all of his journals and photos and memories. And they're all, you can go see different important parts of his life. So the archives are kind of, no one's looking there anymore because they've gone through everything.
They've mined it.
Yeah.
It's like if there was an answer to find, we would have found it.
Yeah. We should also say that now we've got IOI, who is this corporation that is dedicated solely to getting the Easter egg.
Yes.
They're pouring millions of dollars into finding the Easter egg so they can seize control of
Correct.
The best tech. They have the best money behind these people. They can buy all their upgrades or whatever.
Right.
The army is called the Sixers because they're just numbers.
They all start
with a six. Yep.
Yeah. Ben Middleton is the highlight of this movie.
This guy was awesome. This guy has taken over. I mean, he has been in so much stuff.
Yep.
It's Mendelsohn, right?
Mendelsohn?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben Mendelsohn.
Mendelsohn.
So he was in Rogue One. High Waters? The Place Beyond the Pines where he's the guy?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe it's Place Beyond the Pines.
He's also in Bloodlines.
Netflix. Is he on Bloodlines?
Yeah.
With Kyle Chandler. Yeah.
But so, I think it was A Place Beyond the Pines with Ryan Gosling, which I know some people didn't like that one, but I like that.
And Bloodlines is a totally different, he plays like the white trash brother.
Oh, really?
He's always good.
That's kind of the character he is in Place Beyond the Pines. Yeah, he's a trash.
Yeah.
But he was in Rogue One, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. He was in Dark Knight Rises as the guy that was trying to take over. He's been in a ton of stuff, and he's great in everything he shows
really
up in.
He's really good. He's really good in this.
Yeah. But he plays
Nolan Sorrento.
And so,
which, like, I gotta tell you, these names are really cool.
Yeah.
I like these names a lot.
This guy is a corporate bigwig who I feel like in the book they play him up as more of a pop culture junkie, whereas this one he's just a suit that's trying to do his job.
Right.
I feel like he knew more and was kind of on Wade's level.
But in
this one, it's like there's points where he's trying to win over Wade later on, and he's captain to where people, and I thought that was really funny. You have like this guy reading out of a book like, you know, this reference is a thing to this, and he's testing you with this.
Which high school would John Hughes prefer?
Exactly.
And he was like, it was Animal House and something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, those are different
Fast Times.
So anyway, Sorrento is the head. He's like running this company, IOI, and trying to get the Easter egg because, again, you take control of the Oasis. You get $1 trillion worth of shares. But his plan is also to have 80% of the Oasis, your visual field, filled with advertisements.
Right.
Where I'm like, that is such a realistic thing that a corporation would do. And what a terrible experience. He's like, we think that we can cover 80% of the field of view with advertisements.
Before seizures.
Before seizures. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, that's the other thing is like, so we see an old memory and we see Ben Mendelsohn where he's just like, what if we had like tears and
we had a gold and a platinum.
Gold and a platinum. Yeah. And he was like, Halliday's coffee maker. Like he was his little lad.
Well, he was an intern at that point.
And I do like that Halliday's just like, this coffee's good.
Yeah.
And goes about his day.
Now, but I also felt like that, I don't know. I mean, he's antisocial, but I also felt like that was more of a cool dick move. I'm like, but Halliday wasn't really like that.
Or maybe he was. And we really don't spend any time with that. We see him in bits and pieces.
I just was like, man, that was kind of a weird move. But like Halliday was this nice kind of shy guy. I don't think he would like be smarmy to an intern like that. But maybe that was just his awkward antisocial like he didn't know how to convey
it's like you're out of your mind
so
Percival is there and he's watching like this memory and something clicks and he was just like there's nothing there.
Artemis says something to him the end of the race and when she's leaving she's talking about it's some kind of a connection to memory. And he's like, that has to mean something. And he's like, but I've never heard it before. Cause he's like, who said that? She's like, me. But he started thinking about it. Why would she have said something like that? Like you have to go backwards. It was the backwards reference.
Right.
And so that's when he realizes
he meets the curator. This is where we meet the curator and the guy, and he's super, British smarmy, you know, whatever. And he's like, oh, you want to watch the one thing you've watched 500 times? Sure. Why not? So they watch it. And then he go the next day they go back to the race and he's sitting there and he's like, it clicks. Like Artemis pulls up next to him. She's like, oh, you're back so soon. And he's not paying attention at all. And he keeps looking behind him.
Yeah.
And she's just like, you figured something out, didn't you?
Tell me. Yeah.
And he's just like, you know, whatever the race. And everybody goes and he just sits there in the DeLorean. And finally he was just like, whatevs. And he kicks the car into reverse and flies backwards.
Yeah. And it's cool because remember, if he crashes and dies, he's done for. But
right.
Like, he really felt confident about this clue.
Yeah.
And I thought this was an awesome scene.
It's a good-looking scene.
He runs the track. He ends up going down underground and he
runs the track backwards.
It's not backwards,
well,
though.
He's going backwards.
He's in reverse, but the backwards leads him to an underground path, and then he reverses through it from below.
Right.
But the floor is like a computerized grid, so it's translucent.
He's seeing everything happen.
All the traps going up.
And you see the dinosaur above and like kind of like growling and looking down at him. You see Kong up there.
Right.
It's just a really neat scene. Everything with the car stuff.
Yeah, it was very cool. Very cool. And then like, so he finishes the course and it just kind of like lifts him up perfectly underneath Kong. And he's, you know, he gets the key and gets the clue for the next one.
Yeah.
And this is, so like, you know, there's so much of this movie that takes place inside the Oasis.
Yeah, it's a majority. I mean, it's...
I would say it has to be 80%.
Yeah, if not 85%.
More. Right. So what happens is Percival's name finally pops up on the leaderboard.
Yeah, they show us there's this leaderboard because no one's even found the first key. It's 0 points, no names.
Right.
And so he's the first one. So the news is picking it up. IOI and Sorrento are picking it up, which is the big thing. And they're like, who is this guy? He's already found a key.
Right. And then Artemis gets the key the second time, and then H gets a key.
And it's funny. I like how he's like, I gave Artemis a hint. She found it. Then
I think Artemis figured it out on her own.
She saw him.
Yeah,
right?
she saw him.
But then he gave H a hint and promised not to say anything. But then the next day, show did it.
Yeah,
and she, you know.
And then the next day, the other kid got it.
And that's what kind of bothered me was because in the book, that was more of a competition. Like there was a lot more hardships between. Yeah. The high five.
But
in this movie, they're all exclusively working.
Yeah, they almost instantly team up.
But you know what, though? In a 2-hour movie like this, we don't have time.
Right. I like
that there wasn't a conflict. I mean, it's great for the book and it doesn't really spoil anything. But yeah, it's more every man for themselves.
Sure.
They team up here, but I think to keep the movie going and keep it at a good pace, I mean, these are friends and they're working together, and I thought it was fine. That's one of those changes.
Just from the book reader's standpoint, I didn't mind it. But like from having read the book, I was like, okay, this is a lot different, especially when you get to the part when they get the first key, because that's essentially where they start splitting the book in half, because you get the key, and then there's another challenge to find the gate. But in the movie, it's you get the key and you unlock the gate immediately.
Right then and there.
So
he gets loaded. Like, he gets a bunch of credits, and he goes out and buys...
Suspending the Holy Hand Grenade.
The Holy Hand Grenade, and
we found out IOI bought a wipeout device that kills
the
everybody.
Right.
And he's like, why would anybody do that?
Because he's like, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
And he buys that. He buys the new, like, exo suit that lets you feel...
The X1 that they're advertising all over.
Yeah,
the
which I, like... When he gets to what's that?
The Zemeckis cube.
The Zemeckis cube.
I love the Zemeckis.
Like,
I thought
that was awesome.
Sorry. I didn't know what it was going to do at first, but I'm like, that's funny, a Zemeckis cube. And then when we get to the point and they go, I'm like, that is so cool.
So he buys all this gear. He buys the nicest suit he can get, which allows you to feel everything you're feeling in the Oasis. You also feel in the real world. Which comes into play, which I was like, that was a little sexy scene. That was
pretty cool.
But the problem is now is he's famous. Like, everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows
Percival.
Who that,
The thing is, you have to remember, and again, the book will go into this more, but you know, these people do not share their real identities
ever,
because if you're hunting for this $1 trillion prize
right.
and you are the only one that knows how to get there, you're going to get kidnapped. I mean, there's been stories to equate it to something modern. Like, there have been in different countries, I don't think it's happened in the US, but like there have been people that are
swatting.
There have been people that are like own a lot of Bitcoin and they've kidnapped them because Bitcoin, these people have millions of dollars worth, kidnap them at gunpoint and say, deposit this into this account because they know they have it, right? So like, if you're gonna win this prize, people are going to kidnap you. They're going
to
target you. What's that?
Is Bitcoin still a thing?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
oh,
one's worth $7,500 right
now. Okay.
So,
all
right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But I mean, that was just off the top of my head, an example of when you're going to become a target when you're someone that has access to whatever this prize is. And this is a big prize. The whole world is after it. So people are very careful.
Is it the whole world or the whole United States? Like, if they say if this was outside of the United States,
it's the whole world.
I thought it was the whole world. I know when you see the guy that's trying to kill himself, he's Asian, but if memory serves, like, the entire office was Asian.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I took that to me, it was a different country.
I gotcha.
Yeah, okay. So you've got, you're.
Or slave labor, I guess it could have been.
They were wearing suits.
That's true.
Fancy?
Fancy slave labor.
So, yeah. So they go into this more in the book.
Slaves wear monocles,
top hats.
They're very careful about sharing their identities. And so no one in the book says, like, what their real name is.
Right.
No one says anything like that. And so they get to it very quickly in the movie when during that dance scene that you were talking about with the Buckeye Banzai suit. And Wade starts getting a little too close to Artemis. And she's like, don't tell me this.
She says it. Well, also, we should say that Ben Mendelsohn has hired T.J. Miller to be like, you know. And I think it's funny that we were just talking about T.J. Miller last week. And he's in this
movie. And
there
was some controversy, but he plays a D-bag. So it's like, it's not like he's like the hero.
No, he's
good guy.
He's a bad guy.
So he
gets Mendelsohn like this magical force field.
Mm-hmm.
He says it so many times. I forget the name of it. They tell him to stop saying it.
Oh, that's true.
But like, he says it like he's introducing it as the
orb of the doom or something, you know? So he goes to him and he was just like, look, I need you to take this guy out.
Yeah.
And he was just like, we'll do it my way.
In the book,
course,
IROC
like,
is just this butthurt guy that they compete with. Like, he's kind of on a friendly basis with them, but he's just like, he's not as good as the other guy.
H hosts a lounge for all the Gunters to hang out and
IROC's just a D-bag friend of theirs.
Got it.
Just acquaintance. So in this one, he's more of a bounty hunter.
Yes,
type.
That's the way it came off. Yeah. Z and Artemis get the code and they're trying to break down the next clue for the key. So they go back to the archives. And we find out that Holiday had gone on a date with Og's wife,
a year before Og ever met.
So it's also like they don't let you believe that Og's a prick. For stealing the girl away.
No.
Like, it's a year out from their first date that Holiday messed up.
And Og doesn't know. I mean, he doesn't know that he married a girl that Holiday went on a date with a year ago.
Right.
There's no connection.
Oh, he doesn't know at all?
He doesn't know.
Okay, very good. So, yeah, but they, like, I do like the line where she's like, so, what? You know, give me the juice. What happened? And he was like, well, she wanted to go dancing, and we watched a movie. I was just like,
no, yep. I think you meant there was no juice.
I liked their interactions together, and I think that's because I like Simon Pegg as much. He was just like, come on, give me something. Yeah. And he was just like, we watched a movie. And it was like,
come on. The line is, she wanted to go dancing, so we went and watched a movie. I'm like,
it's so like, yeah, okay.
That's why that was your one date.
Right, yeah. So they start putting it together. They're like, the master hates his one creation, this single, you know, the single thing he created. So initially I was like,
creator who hates his creation.
I was like, well, it's Frankenstein. Like, somehow they're going to get to Frank. Like, if he loves pop culture and movies, like, I'm assuming the movie that he saw with this girl was going to be Frankenstein, and they totally do a bait and switch. Like, I think it was awesome.
It was
what they do. So they go to this club, and
also mentioned, this is an important plot point for the ending of the movie. So he bets the curator, he's like, Kira, that's the girl.
That's right.
Not mentioned anywhere else but this one memory, and he bets
he's like,
the curator.
No. The curator's like, that's not true at all, and he's like, search it. He's like, I'll bet you everything.
And
I've
later
got.
On, it's apparent why the curator would think he would know this. He's
right.
Like, well, she must be mentioned. He's got a little bit closer connection.
Correct.
Than,
and he flicks him a quarter.
A quarter.
And he's just like, what am I going to do with this? He's like, you keep it. He's like, no, you keep it.
Yeah,
like,
they
like
go back and forth.
And
he gives it to Artemis, and she's like, yeah, and gives it back to
him. And we never see the quarter again until later.
So then we see it again.
Until we don't see it again until later.
I don't think that's what the word never means.
We don't see it for the rest of the movie
until we see it again.
Until later. Shut up, Tom. So they figure it out. They're like, okay, if we go to this club, which is the place where he was supposed to go dancing. Yeah. Like, we'll go from there. So this is another cool scene where they're dancing, like, you know, the leap not taken.
Yeah.
So he's like, everybody
jumps
off.
The leap that you would take would be to go dancing with this girl, and he didn't. But now in this club, there's a literal leap.
Right.
And they have the keys. So they're like, maybe something weird will happen if we
jump.
It's a cool scene. This is a visual, just like crazy scene where they're dancing in the air.
With the 3D was nuts.
Yeah. I mean, it is in the 2D. It was really cool to see. I can't imagine because they are floating. They're upside down. But also she's like, are you wearing the full suit or are you just wearing the goggles? I got the full suit.
She said, did you come prepared?
Oh, man. The prepared thing, I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah. And so like, but she's like touching down his arm and his leg and whatever. And you see his suit in the real world highlights.
Right.
Red,
right.
So he can feel like they're interacting, you know, and then she goes and dances like between his legs and fighting up red. I'm like,
it was a sexy scene.
It was funny.
I also say like the CG in this is so fluid.
Yeah,
like it's not herky jerky at all. Like it feels really next level.
So
CG.
Here's the thing, and we talked about this recently, and I feel like it was Tomb Raider, but maybe it wasn't. But when you have a video game movie, you can get away with a lot more things, right? So this movie is almost entirely CG, at least the majority is.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't look real, but it's really, really good CG.
Right.
You know, it's not photorealistic, but it's very detailed CG. And so they can do whatever they want. And as someone that doesn't prefer CG, but like I like Pixar movies and animated films, this movie is really good CG.
Well,
so,
also, like, you don't like it when it's integrated, right?
Right. Real people and CG, there's that uncanny valley thing.
Right.
It just, it bothers me.
And you don't have to worry about that in this one.
But this movie, you either have real people or you're completely in the CG world. So it's not a problem. And it is excellent work.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he says, my name is Wade. And she was like, don't do that. What are you doing?
And I-Rock is monitoring.
Right,
He's there at the club and Mendelsohn calls him. He's like, they're here. I can't talk. So he's listening in. He kicks Harley Quinn
and
I don't know who else it was.
Some other girls.
I thought it was Sonya, or not Sonya, but one of the Mortal Kombat girls.
That
kind of
sounds familiar, but he kicks them out of their booth. And
I do like he sits down and they both look at him. He was like, you should go.
Yeah.
And they run away. So they get away. You know, IOI shows up and they end up getting away. But I-Rock is able to be like, look, this is the guy's name. Why don't you cross reference that over whoever just bought like those.
The X1 suits
and they figure it out.
I-Rock would have had him, but
Mendelsohn mucked it up.
Because he got too, you know, trigger happy and sent his IOI guys there when he said, oh, they're at this club.
Right.
And, you know, I-Rock was totally discreet. He had the info, but he still got enough info to know that he lives at that trailer and the stacks. And so
where he says he's just like, oh, I guess he sends him a message. Like, so they leave that day. He sends him a message. He was like, look, you come meet with us and we'll go. And he's like, the Wade is struck. He doesn't want to meet, but he's just like, I figured we should probably check it out.
And this is an invitation to
IOI
to Z. It's not. He doesn't. You know,
they don't
his
know
hat
yet.
That.
Yeah.
You know, to Wade. So at this point, he's like, okay, this guy from IOI is contacting, you know, me, Z, Artemis as a, you know, not Artemis. I'm sorry, Parzival, as a character, as an avatar. You know, and he's luring him into a job. He's going to give him this big 6-figure salary. I think
huge.
You know, he's
going
to have enough credits
to get
anything. Yeah,
yeah, just to
the
get
chair, the haptic chair, which is like a baller chair instead of the little treadmill.
That he has his password sitting right next to him.
That's
great.
Cool. That came. I thought it was just a joke because if you've ever worked in an office in IT, it's like, if you want to go hack someone, I mean, I'm not endorsing that, but you know, it would be like if I needed to get on someone's terminal. I would be like, what's your password? Oh, it's just written under the keyboard. It's like, do you know passwords are for security, right? Like if someone can just lift your keyboard or sometimes on the monitor it's written and it's like, that's the point of a password is not so someone can sit down and look straight ahead and type, this is my password. Like that's to keep people anyway.
Right.
But so like, I loved it that in his chair, cause he's not a techie, he's a suit.
Right.
He has his password on a post-it
note
in his chair.
Right there, right next to him.
And Wade has this photographic memory. As we know, he can memorize all this stuff.
Right.
And he got that password for later use, and it does come in handy.
Yeah. So they figure out that somehow they get to, they go back to the thing, the archives, and they're just like, what movie did, that's the thing.
Oh, we shouldn't go there yet, right?
I think so.
No, because they blow up the stacks.
before. Yeah, this is where he got the information.
The okay.
He declines them, and this is where they're feeding the information.
That's right.
And then he gets mad or whatever. He's just like, well, we know who you are.
He's like, I haven't been there, and he's like, you haven't left your house in 4 days. And he's just like, I'm not. Oh, shoot. So he jumps out of the oasis.
This is the part that confused me too, because he's had a guy tailing him that we see,
right?
And so I'm like, oh, IOI knows where he is, and you know, they've got him where they want him.
How do they, like, why are they blowing up?
Yeah, why are they doing this? Right. And then, you know, we come to find out that was someone else tailing him.
Yes,
but he basically says, "We know who you are, Wade, and we know you live with your aunt in this part." And so this is where he runs to the stacks real
and
quick.
At this point,
and there's drones at the same time flying with bombs
right
ahead of him.
And they blow up his aunt.
Yeah.
and
the whole, that whole stack.
This is where you get your Pink Panther reference.
Wow.
Dead aunt.
I mean, if they had done that, that would have been.
Yeah. That was something. You don't even know on that one.
So this is where he gets taken.
Yeah.
Like he gets taken by the guy that we thought.
Face tattoo guy.
Not Mike Tyson.
That's what he's credited as.
Yeah. So he wakes up and then he's face to face with a girl and the girl talks and he was just like, say that again.
Yeah.
And he's like, Are you Artemis?
You're Artemis.
And
yeah.
Which was, like, as the book reader, was weird because they don't meet till the final chapter of the book.
Oh, really?
All. Yeah. So this was a huge turn from from what.
But again, it's like, I mean,
but it
if,
works.
If you, you know, I know that book readers can be very, you know, it's not nostalgic, but you know, people that love these books and these properties, they take ownership, and when things change and they might not be how they are in their head, like, I get that, but you also have to look at it logically sometime that you're packing a 10-hour read into a 2-hour movie.
And I think the changes were for the better.
I
yes,
do too.
I'm
not trying to sound like I'm complaining about them, but
I'm just acknowledging
the differences.
Totally. No.
Yeah,
because
you know, the first challenge in the book is two dudes playing Joust.
Yeah.
Like, go.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
after like, getting through a big Dungeon and Dragons like set. They joust.
They play joust.
Like, on the arcade.
Like, this scene, the first challenge in the movie, is probably my favorite scene of any movie of the year. So, like, to show you the parallels between a game of joust and this awesome street race that was just so fun. So they make a lot of changes. And so I will just say, as someone who enjoyed the book and has read it.
Although, like, I will say, even in the book, I didn't understand, why is the challenge them playing joust? Why is the challenge not
jousting?
They're in
they're
joust.
In joust.
Yeah, right.
Right?
That's
like, a good question.
You know. Like, that would have been pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it's all about the nostalgia, like, in the arcade games. Like, you're playing the games. Like, it was just more about these, because he's played Joust a lot, but he hasn't jousted. Like, he had the experience from playing all these old games.
Yeah.
So it was more about, they do at the end with the guy. I mean, you're in a virtual world with a virtual
Atari.
Controller playing
right.
an old game,
right.
not actually in the game.
Right. So they wake up. He wakes up. They meet each other. They have a pretty good interaction between the two. I liked that girl. That girl is a fantastic actress.
Yeah. And she mentioned to Wade before, Wade is like, at the dance scene, he's like, I'm falling in love with you. I love you. And she's like, no,
you don't
only
know
see,
me.
You see what I want you to see. Right. I'm projecting this image and that's what you love. And he's like, no. And she's like, you'll be disappointed. And I thought this was a good line. And I like how he delivered it, how he's like, out of nowhere, he's just like, and I'm not disappointed, by the way. You told me I would be. You know, it's a
right.
nice little
meet cute. It was a good little line.
Yeah.
I wish her facial issue was worse.
I could see that. Rather than just a big birthmark over her eye.
Yeah, like
that's very easily overlooked.
Yes.
Right.
Like, if it's supposed to be like, this doesn't matter to me, I wish it was something that was a little more severe for it not to matter to him.
Right,
because
it's
kind of like, because everything else about, she's very cute, and like everything else about her, and she's a really, like, within the world of this movie, she's a really cool girl.
Yeah.
She's not going to have any issues.
No,
I don't think.
No, I don't think. Not at all.
I think it's very realistic, though, because everybody's self image is a lot worse than how other people see them.
Yeah.
You're so particular, you know, about every little thing. You know how people say, oh, I don't like this about me or this, and other people have never even thought about that thing. And so I think it shows that, you know, she's got this birthmark, which she thinks stands out so much, and she covers it by, you know, the hairdo that sweeps over her eye. But no one else is going to feel that way, just like you said. And I just think it's a very realistic thing to think, you know, oh, I'm ugly because of this. And people are like, oh,
that's true. Fine.
Not a big deal.
You're
at all.
Good.
Yeah.
Right. So they break down the code. They think it's the movie. Like, the movie is what he's talking about.
So this is cool. So in the book, we get different movies, right? And I was wondering. So like, yeah, you're like, there's War Games, and then they do another one
Monty
later.
Monty Python.
And then, then Holy Grail. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, they're going to make it different. Or what movie are they going to go into? And I didn't know. But so they go through this, and they find out that the movie that they went to go see is The Shining.
Well, they say, like, what movies did he watch in this week?
Yeah.
And because they have a breakdown of everything he's ever seen.
Yeah.
And they find The Shining. And, of course, it's the creator hates his own creation.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious, it's common
knowledge. As soon as they said that, I figured, I'm like, okay, well, Stephen King hates The Shining, right. So that's what it is. And so at first, I thought they were going into a movie theater. Like, it's so cool. There's a marquee, it says The Shining, and it looks like they're entering a theater. So I'm
as
like,
as soon as they
they're
going to
go
in,
watch this, but they open the doors and they're in
on
the hotel.
Set, in the
and it was awesome.
And
yeah.
It is a photo, this is a photorealistic,
yep.
Beautiful.
Soundtrack is there.
Yep.
Creation of the Overlook is so cool.
It was impressive. Yeah. And so they're just trying to figure out, you know, they have a key. They're just trying to figure out, you know, what, you know, there's the key to room 237. There's the keys to the Bobcat.
Five of them, the team of these are all five together.
You probably mentioned, Daito and Sho are
right, there as well.
And H is...
He's like, is this a scary
not
movie?
Not a horror movie.
He doesn't know what it is.
He doesn't know what
it
is.
He's never seen it.
Right,
and he's
right.
Like, I'm offended.
He's like, I cannot
you
believe
not,
you've never...
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I don't watch scary movies. Yeah. So he goes down... Like,
H is very funny.
Yeah.
This, yeah.
She goes down...
I don't know that it is a she.
Oh.
I think the character's supposed to be trans.
Interesting.
Really?
Because
I didn't put that together.
When you see H in real life, I mean, it is a female, but it's a very masculine female.
That's true.
And
her character is very masculine in the game.
And the avatar that the character chooses is clearly masculine.
Yeah.
And they almost address it. Like when I think it's Artemis first sees her on the mail truck.
Right.
She's like, she being Artemis in this case, says, like, I didn't. She's like, I'm not what you expected, and she's like, I didn't expect you, and then they like forget what she says.
Not what you expected, and she said something about the truck.
Yeah, she's like, I didn't expect you to be driving a 30-0
bread truck,
mail truck, and so it's like
she
I got
give her a little nod and a wink too. That's
right,
true.
So I took it as especially when if the point of the Oasis is you get to be who you want to be,
right?
I took it as the character was trans and that's how she
presents
as male in that world because that's what she is.
They explained it in the book. Again, I'm
so in the
book,
she's a female, but she's a lesbian.
Right. But she took on... Is it the same avatar in the book? I don't remember what
I don't remember that being.
But there was like a big social issue in regards to her and her mother were both black women. But in order to succeed in the Oasis, they had to be white men. Or in like a business, like they had a business in the Oasis that it was much easier as white men or portraying white men to make that business.
But I can see that for, I mean, they don't mention it like that in the book, but I can totally see that for the movie. And I think that's very relevant to today in the age we live in.
Right. Sure.
But so yeah, spoiler alert, H as it is, you know, in the book, it's a big reveal, you know, in the middle of it or whatnot. I mean, it's not something, you know,
that's
the
why
beginning.
I was so surprised seeing her in the promotional material. Cause it's a big moment.
That,
in the book.
That is. Yeah, and the only thing I can think of is that was just to market the... I mean, you said it's a very white movie.
Right.
I mean, I think it's like since that is a main character and she's black, it's like that was part of the marketing, right?
Sure,
to diversify the cast, to show the diversity. But by doing that, you do reveal that H is female.
Is female.
Or you know, not... your typical male,
she's
I
not,
should say.
Are we ruining the book for you?
No.
Okay.
No, you think I'm going to remember all this?
No, but this also follows the exact same.
Right. Right,
it's not different, so he's going to find out.
So anyway, he sees a tennis ball go bouncing across the floor, and he's like, oh, he runs after it.
I love this. Hey there, little kid.
Hey, little,
I love his
interview. Where are you going, Logan?
He doesn't really get that it's a horror movie or what's happening.
Yeah,
and so,
so he's actually like trying to talk to the little creepy girls. Right. Like, hey, little girl.
So he goes to like hit the elevator button.
Oh,
and then you can hear everybody be like, no! And then, of course, the blood comes out.
I was
out.
Like, that's a lot of blood for a PG-13 movie. I mean,
can you get away with it because it's animated?
I don't know.
It's not animated,
though,
because
like
they were using footage from the movie. That was
were
actually,
they?
It sure looked like
oh,
it to
I
me.
Thought, I think they recreated it.
I think they recreated it.
I think it's
it. Are you sure? That,
I'm not
it sure
but
looked
but
like the original film stock.
That's what
I
appreciated about it.
I think it's CG, but photorealistic. Like that Overlook set, I think they... did. You could but be right. Either way, I'm like,
I don't know. It sure looks like.
I do
know.
Like when he, so he goes into room 237.
Yeah.
And of course, there's the girl in the bathtub.
The coverage, the way they do it, is
really very good.
I think they might get by with the blood from a PG-13 angle in that you, it's not from something. It's not from a
it's
person.
It's blood. Like,
it's just
a
giant
full of blood.
Quantity of blood.
Yeah, right. It's just very realistic. Yeah. Like, it's not like, oh, that's fake blood. Like, it's creepy, real looking blood.
Right.
And that's the only thing I can think of is you're not killing someone with their blood.
Right.
That's like, that's the most blood I've ever seen in a PG-13 movie.
That was red.
And if anybody can get it past
Steven Spielberg.
The MPAA, it's Spielberg.
Since he invented the PG-13.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But I do like where the girl walks up to him and the guy was just, H was just like, all right.
Hey, it's a very funny scene. Like, hey, ooh, you're naked. And then he's like, okay, I'll go with this.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
going
fine.
With this.
And then,
yeah.
of course, she turns into the.
And this is why it's great to have Spielberg making the movie, because there's not another director who could have gotten the rights to a Kubrick film.
Absolutely not.
It's true.
No. Hell no.
I mean, they owe him one, right?
I think that's the way that works, right?
I mean, he finished Kubrick's last film.
He did?
AI.
Oh, that's true.
That was
he
a Kubrick.
Did. That was a Kubrick film.
That was intent. That was began life as a Kubrick film.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He stepped in and finished it.
Right.
And so
he worked on that for a long time. Too,
Kubrick. Oh yeah. I mean, Kubrick worked on everything for a long time. Like that's, he wasn't a speed demon. But
he didn't finish it though.
But yeah, he was like, I think he was just gearing up to begin production.
Right.
When he died, and Spielberg stepped in and finished it for him.
So then, yes, he does.
Very cool.
Because he took a lot of heat for that ending. And they were like, oh, Spielberg comes in and Spielberg's up the joint, and he's like, that's in the script. Go
that's
F
not me.
Yourself. That was Kubrick. I didn't do that.
Don't put that on me.
Yeah.
So yeah, so this is where they end up fighting. We go into the hedge maze, we do the like everything. There's a scene where
I think this stuff was new footage that they created, but I think a lot of that initial footage,
I'd be interested to know. I felt like it was all recreated for the movie, but there's a scene where he's getting chased by who we think is Jack Torrance,
right? Yeah.
And it just so happens to turn around and it's one of the
creepy demon ladies.
Demon
ladies.
I thought get the rights to Jack Nicholson.
That's exactly
image.
What it is.
That's
right. Right.
But
right.
I'm like, I thought it was Jack. I'm like, are we gonna see?
Yeah,
him?
That'd be crazy. Yeah, like a young CG Jack Nicholson. Yeah.
But a very cool scene visually. I mean, all the challenges are really neat.
Right.
And this one was cool. I liked they picked The Shining. I just think that's a really great. For a movie buff, you know,
there's
to go
a lot
in.
Of it. Like, there's a lot of The Shine. Like, they get all the points. Like, even to the point where H is in a room and the axes are coming through the door.
Yeah.
Like, it's they. Get,
that's where I thought too that we were going to see Nicholson with that.
Right.
Yeah, it's straight out of there.
I was so enamored by that. I had to pee so bad. And I'm like, I am not going while this is happening because I am enthralled by this.
It was
good. And the thing that I like is for the readers of the book, they use a completely new movie, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
Like, you know, we saw War Games, we saw Monty Python, so I love that they chose a new movie and one that's so beloved.
I do like this. Yeah. So they pull H out of the door and he was just like, whatever we do, we're not going into room to 237. Like, we're not going in there.
There's nothing in there we need.
There's nothing in there we need. So they had to figure out that he didn't dance with with the girl.
Kira.
Yeah. So
I like how his picture was at the Overlook. Just
that was
like,
good. Like,
yeah,
it was a good little
that was
nod.
A great.
Again, couldn't get the likeness of Jack Nicholson, so they put him in there.
No, but it's
good.
Supposed to be them. Right. And that's so perfect because that's what happens with Jack.
Right.
Or, you know.
So they go into the ballroom, and this you see all of like the zombies and ghosts dancing around. He's like, this isn't part of the movie.
That's not out of the movie.
Yeah. and we see the girl. We see her like being like bounced around. And
didn't they reference the Haunted Mansion though in that scene?
It sure looked like
it
the
looked
Haunted
Mansion.
That's
Haunted
what it made me think of, but I'm not 100% if it was the
I
same
thought
ghost.
The second time I was trying to pay attention to it because I thought of the Haunted Mansion when I first
My
saw it.
My guess is it's not because
it's Disney.
It's Disney. Yeah. I think we'd have seen more Disney stuff if they had Disney on board is my guess.
It's not. I think it was just a weird zombie.
Although the 80s weren't a great time for Disney.
That's true. They weren't.
From a cultural reference
standpoint.
Nope.
They were in the
You
in
got
the, in
Tron
the pits.
And Little Mermaid's 89.
So they like, you know, from 80 to 89.
Definitely the doldrums.
Yeah.
For
right. So
if any movie was going to be in this, Tron would have been. I mean, if they were going to get
so
one.
So here's the thing. This is Tron.
In a lot of ways.
It's, I mean, the bad guy is trying to overtake the game.
Well, you're in
like,
a video game.
You're in a video game.
I mean, that right
there's
there.
There's a
is.
Massive race scene.
Yeah.
In Tron, in this. And I was just, I thought about that. I was like, huh. interesting choice. Like, it's Willy Wonka meets Tron. Like, that's the...
There's a lot of things. And I mean, it. The thing is, it's a love letter to pop culture.
Yeah,
so
honestly,
you really
even the book, it's not the it's not all that creative of a story.
Right.
Yeah. It's the pop culture sheen that he puts on
it's
it.
It's the fun of getting to interact with all these things that are never in the same property. They're all in this one story, and, you know, you're switching between them, and that's, that's what's cool about it.
Yeah. So she Artemis takes it upon herself to start jumping... Like, trying to, they realize they have to get to her, so they're jumping from, like...
To Kira.
To Kira, right. So they get to her, and is this where, like, they land, she lands on her, like...
She does dance with her, because this was the leap,
A leap
she's
not
jumping
taken.
From floating dancer to floating
dancer. I've been waiting for this dance for a long time.
Right, and then she gets the key, and then all of our other
and then they
players
all get it eventually.
Yeah, get the key as well. So
but the IOI is hot on their tail. So at this point, once they all started doing it, once they got the first key, IOI was behind them and everyone was getting that key. And then for the second one, they get it. But then closely, IOI starts getting it. Like, they're catching up. And so it's a race to the end here, because you went from no one on the scoreboard to, you know, the two challenges completed.
So, so she kind of like knocks Percival out in the real world.
Right.
Because the IOI is on them. She's like, you'll thank me for this later. Kicks him out. Everything is falling apart. The IOI is arresting everybody. He ends up being taken. We don't know by who. And then all of a sudden we find out that it's H and, the two other guys.
Daito and Sho.
Like he's taken by all three of them. And then I'm
so the second clue is that the third key is in Castle Anorak, and so they know that that's where the third one's
so now
be.
IOI has already figured all that out. Mm-hmm. So they take the magic orb and they put it around this castle and nobody can get through.
It's impenetrable.
Yes. Yeah. So
and I don't think the movie did a very good job of explaining this orb that prevents the usage of magic, because in the book, as I remember it. That was like really dirty pool. Like that was kind of what started to get people to, I mean, not that anybody really liked IOI, but that was when people really like that. I felt like that was really kind of like the
tipping point,
the beginning of the uprising from the average user, because it's like,
there's this contest and they're blocking.
Yeah.
People.
And it's like, we know where the final clue is and everybody knows, but we're going to use our wealth and power to stop you from even attempting to participate.
And
that was when people really just kind of went ballistic. And
I
don't think the movie did a very good job of conveying exactly what was going on or why it would cause so much outrage.
That makes sense,
because in the book there's more talk about these other worlds, and like there are places where like you can go to this world, but there's like you can go to the world that's nothing but John Hughes creations, but there's no magic on that world, so your magic's not going to work.
Right.
Or you can go to this other world, but there's no fighting. Like you can't like so like I remember it's been a while since I've read the book, but I remember like Percival spends a lot of time once they know who he is, he kind of spends a lot of time going to worlds where you can't fight, so they can't get
him. Can't mess with
they
them.
Can't mess with
Interesting.
Them. And so I don't know that the movie did the best job in really showing like the scope
of how big it is of
the Oasis, and how there's all these like little tributaries where it's not always so much of like all these characters commingling. It was like, if you want a John Hughes experience, you go there. If you want a Minecraft experience, although I don't think that was in the book, you'd go there. If it was like it was very kind of segregated into their own little mini
universes.
Yeah,
you don't cross over other than in that like the main chat rooms. I mean,
right.
You go to your world just like, I mean, it's just like Wreck-It Ralph going into certain games. It's very much departmentalized like that. So at this point, is this when Artemis gets captured?
Artemis is captured and she's put
into
a...
Does this kind of replace the Wade scene in the book where he goes to the indentation?
In the
it's an indentured servitude thing where he basically has all this debt. He has a fake identity, so he basically volunteers to go in.
So they nixed this, but he gets himself arrested under the fake identity so he can take down IOI from the inside. It's a really cool plot point in the book.
Switch it and give it to Artemis, but they actually make it that Artemis has been captured. Yeah.
She's not doing it to try to get
She kind of is, though, because like at the point where they're captured, they both could have got out, but she tells him, hey, you need to win this, and then just stays back to get captured.
I mean, she does to let him go forward, but like in the book, it's more, I mean, it's very much a plan by Wade, them out from the inside and to hack
them.
So
what confused me in the movie is like, why didn't she go with him? But then I realized, okay, she's going to replace that scene where Wade volunteers to go in and from the inside.
So Wade and his crew, they can hack into the bad guys.
Yeah, so they've got the password. So, and this is really cool. So they create a virtual office where Sorrento does his work, where that chair is inside of H's hideout. And so Sorrento ends up thinking that he's, you know, pulling the goggles off, logging out of the Oasis, but he's still in the Oasis in a fake room.
And gives them all kinds of, like, he's a swarmy dude, right?
Yeah.
So he gives them all the information. He gives them everything they need. So they end up realizing that the last clue is you have to play this a certain Atari game, and
there's like an Atari 2600 with like every game ever, and you have to play
a certain
game.
People are constantly like, "Well, we're about 1 minute in, dead. 1 minute in, dead."
So they're doing it on the ice. There's an old school TV with the Atari, and they've got the joystick on the ice, and they start playing it. And after a minute of whatever game, they just fall through.
Right.
And so they're going game to game, and they've got the nerd room where all the people are like fighting over a whiteboard.
It must be this and this.
They're all trying to throw out
market off games. Yeah. Well, in the Oasis, Percival puts out a communication across all of the Oasis and says, look, this is what's happening. I need you to come with me. Like, if you're going to fight with me, that's great. We need to stop them. So he gives his speech and nothing happens. And then all of a sudden you hear like off in the distance, like a rumble. Yep. And then here comes every pop culture reference you'd ever want in your entire life. Floods the scene. You've got the Chucky bomb, which I thought was hilarious. So like Percival has like a grenade.
H throws the Chucky doll. H is like, use this.
And they were wasn't it inside something and they tossed it and it comes out as Chucky?
No, it was Chucky doll.
Use
this, but it's like a knife trying to stab him.
Yeah.
But it ends up taking out, and so they always go from the Oasis to the Sixers, the IOI office, and
they're all
turning
red.
Your unit, your chair is lit up and it goes red when you die. And so I love the patterns of the falling Sixers as they go red, and Chucky takes out like 50 of them.
Right.
Great.
So
also, we should go, they're bouncing back and forth between Artemis and this internment, Loyalty Center is where they're working off their debt. And so Wade has walked her through a way to get out of there. Uh-huh. So she's unlocked her shackles, but she's kind of playing along, and she's going to take them out from the inside.
Right.
And so she ends up going to Sorrento's office and actually getting in the chair and controlling an avatar from within.
She puts on one of the suits. Like, she's one of the people in the pods. And that's how she comes in as like a Sixer.
Oh, she does that first. That's right. I'm sorry. She eventually gets to Sorrento's
chair. She gets in
his
seat to find out how to shut down that shield.
Right.
So she never logs in from the Oasis from his chair.
I thought she goes into the chair and then she hides and gets out of it.
That's right.
A Sixer first. Yeah. And so she's working with all the other Sixers, but she's kind of screwing them up.
She's got like she gets into where the magic orb is.
Yeah.
She uses a little drone and says the Klaatu, Virata, Nikto, whatever it is. And then it shuts it down and the whole thing comes down and they end up.
Well, Sorrento asks IROC, how long should this last?
Oh, like a million,
probably
10
just about
million,
a million years.
Yeah,
so
no
we should be fine.
We're good. And then all of a sudden the whole thing crumbles. They realize that they need to play adventure. So like there's a kid playing adventure and he's just like, we're in, like, we got this. He hasn't died yet.
Adventure was hard.
It
was hard and it was dumb.
Oh. God, it is a maze with a square.
That's
like,
tough.
You know what I mean? Like, there's not much else to do.
Right.
Like,
that's tough.
Yeah. Question. You have to figure out what to do with a maze and a square that runs around it.
Like, if IOI had all these scientists who knew
Halliday as best they could, why would they not immediately go to Adventures knowing that that's the first game with an Easter egg?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, when the whole thing's based around an Easter egg.
Right.
So, there's a big fight between Percival and not
Parzival.
Parzival and not Superman. and, Sorrento has... the game changer, basically. Yeah. Like, he's got this bomb.
Oh, we should... at one point, early on, though, the Zemeckis Cube, they use it.
I just
love this reference. Cause like, why do they call it the Zemeckis Cube? As soon as he throws out the Zemeckis Cube...
And it makes the sound.
It does that little jingle of the Back to the Future.
It's the sound that of the time circuits turning on.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And so, and it's able to roll back time.
And he's like, she's like, you're just now using that? Like, you didn't use that?
Yeah.
So,
but they've got
the cataclysm.
I think.
Yeah. So we've seen the Iron Giant. We've seen Mecha Godzilla. We've seen Gundam, which I thought the Gundam thing was awesome.
That's cool. Yeah. So that's Daito, was it? Daito, I think.
Yeah.
So Daito's the older one. So Sho is a running joke. He's 11.
He's 11.
And
he's
it's just really funny that he's this warrior, one of these best gamers. And it's just like, you play online Call of Duty and you're getting
killed
by someone.
That's why I don't play online.
But it's a 9-year-old kid. You don't know it. I mean, if they're not talking, right. You don't know it. And it's like, yeah, it's just a kid. So he's like, so what? Whatever.
It's so demoralizing.
It is.
Too.
I'm telling you.
Those kids are
gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they take out.
He won this thing that for 2 minutes he can turn
from
into
big
any
Gundam.
Robot, right?
Any giant. So when he's fighting Mega Godzilla, I was like, well, here comes Ultraman.
Yeah. Like, this is the Ultraman in the book.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And it's Gundam in this, which is fine. Like, I get it.
As far as references and for modern audiences, like, they're going to get that.
Right.
You know?
So they activate the catalyst or the cataclysm.
Cataclysm.
And it destroys everything. Yeah. Like
it destroys the game. It kills
everybody
in the game.
You lose everything.
And,
and then out of nowhere,
because even the TJ Miller character was like,
"No! I've got ten years of stuff built up."
I think
in
it's everybody on the planet, not everybody like in the entire Oasis.
Oh, I thought it took out the whole thing.
Too. I could be wrong.
I think from the game was on that planet though.
Yeah,
like,
everyone was fighting on the planet.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the smoke clears and there's. Percival.
But Parzival's there.
Parzival is right there.
And it's like, what? And, it's the same thing kind of in
just
the book where you're just like, how is he alive? Because he has an extra life.
Right.
Like,
he happens to pull in his pocket on the flip. See, the only thing he's got on him, like his vest is gone, everything is gone, but he's got a quarter and on the back side it says an extra life.
Yeah.
So he flicks it in the air and it gives him back the two keys. He finishes the game. He gets the third key. He goes in.
Yeah, because at this point, IOI's wiped out everyone.
It's gone.
Yeah. So, I mean, they would have.
Just him.
At this point, they would have had to start over and it would be a race to the finish again, but they would at least have a clean slate.
Right.
Yep. But no, they left someone on that planet with their progress. So
we should also say that, like, they're racing down in this mail truck and they're getting hit on both sides.
Yes,
the real world, that is.
Once they're introduced to H, they find out that H is different than they expected, whatever. It may be transgender, but H is not a male. Parzival is like sharing his innermost secrets and, he's treating him like one of the guys, like their whole relationship. And so he thinks, and they go into it more in the book, but, it's like a surprise that you don't
know. I just mean like when they're in this van, they're getting hit from both sides.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say that reveal. But this is where when you see the van, that's when they... this is earlier, but we find out that H is a guy or transgender, or not really a guy, a female, whatever you want to call it. And then Daito, Sho, H, and Samantha eventually gets picked up. Like they see her walking on the street, and that's when you get that interaction with, are you Artemis? And I didn't expect a mail truck.
Right. Yeah. So that he can't, so the way he moves in the real world affects how he moves.
Yeah.
So he cannot.
Everybody's watching him like, well, just grab the thing.
Key.
Yeah.
I do like the girl, which is like, how hard is it to put the key in the hole? So finally he does it. He unlocks it.
Can't be the first time you've heard a girl say that.
I haven't.
Yeah.
But there's the big reveal and he's, Air Mac is there and he's like, all you gotta do is sign this paperwork over and it's all yours. And he's just like, this is wrong. Like, this is a test. Like, this is
Willy Wonka.
Yeah. It's not what he wanted me to do.
This was Halliday's darkest moment was when he screwed his friend out of the company.
Yeah, right.
He completely knocked out of the company. And
right.
It was over the grudge because of the wife that he couldn't get. And so he
just says no. And he pushes it away, and he's like, Halliday wouldn't want me to do
this.
That's
the everlasting gobstopper.
And he was just like,
clearly.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
And it all goes away, and we get the reveal that, you know, he's...
He should have said, good day, sir. But
well, yeah. So he gives him the Easter egg, and we flash forward back to the real world.
And he shows him the button, so now he has control of the Oasis.
I do think that was funny.
And there's a self-destruct button where it's over.
And he was like,
good.
Maybe you don't want to ruin that. Turn off the Oasis
on
your first
day.
Why is there not a protective cover on that?
With two keys that you have to
see. You're coming in at night with the lights off, and you're trying to turn them on, and whoops, I just deleted the Oasis.
Yeah.
So we go back to the real world. Ben Mendelsohn is going to shoot all of them, I guess. And then the cops show up. They arrest him, and we're told that the entire time they
I think doesn't he have kind of like a moment of clarity?
He does,
because he could have.
He sees him in the suit with like holding the egg, like in the virtual egg, and he has a moment.
I mean, at this point, if he kills him, like he's already going to jail. But like if you murder him, you're a you know, everyone's watching.
Right.
It's like, what's the point?
Also, there's enough people around.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to get that gun away from him.
Yeah, that's the only thing where I was like, do you really think, like, they were all protecting him because they're all like, you know, go Parzival. But then as soon as he comes through, they're very slowly, not like, oh my God, he has a gun, but they're like just parting
right,
ways.
Right.
I'm like, that seems like a really weird.
Just hit him from behind.
1,000 to 1, like, why are
he's only got 16 bullets.
Yeah.
So at the very least, only 16 of you.
I thought it was a little weird they didn't protect Parzival.
Right.
It was an odd choice.
Easy to say when you're not one of the 16.
Also true.
Yeah.
No, totally, but it's just like it just felt a little odd, so we could get that moment of clarity.
Right.
But he ends up not shooting him by choice, and then he's taken away.
Yeah, and then we're told that. So the entire time we're said that these people don't clan up, and they decide to create a clan. They split the.
Well, he says, "Yeah, I'm splitting it." When the news comes, he's like, "I'm splitting it with my clan."
Right.
Where the whole time that's
they say that like one of some of the things they liked, they did some things that are cool. Some of the things they didn't like is they turned off the Oasis. Tuesdays and Thursdays so you could spend time in the real world.
That was my favorite part of the entire movie.
I thought that was a fantastic idea. Because I think with technology the way it is today, everybody's nose down in their phone, so they turn it all off and you're forced to interact with people.
It was a very cool idea.
Right.
A very prescient.
And that's kind of how it ends.
Yeah.
And I thought, I love this movie. It's so much fun.
It was a lot of fun, and I think it was a very good adaptation of the book. I mean, I think it is faithful. Obviously, they had to change things.
It's interesting in how it's not faithful, but also entirely faithful.
Yeah, it's not a straight adaptation, but it's very faithful to the story. The overall story arcs are all there.
It keeps the beats and the spirit of it.
The message,
but it makes it a much more...
efficient
and action driven.
Yeah.
Like it's not, you know, like it makes it more fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Visually.
Right. It's like the thing is where a lot of people are like, oh, they changed so much. But I'm like, you get the exact same beats, right?
Right.
You have the kid from the stacks. You have the cool Artemis. You have the friend. You have Daito and Sho. You have the three keys. You have the Easter eggs. You have the references. You have the work camp. You have Sorrento. Like, I mean, everything's there. They change a little bit of the details, but you get the exact same story with the same good message.
And it's not like somebody else butchered it either. Ernest Cline wrote the screenplay with a little bit of help.
I think, he should be very happy with this adaptation because having read the book, I feel like I would have gotten the exact same experience. Like, I like the extra stuff because I had the time for a book.
Yeah.
But in the end, if I had just seen this movie, like, I feel very fulfilled with this version of it. And I don't say, like, oh, my God, I wish they didn't, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, we have some... I won't spoil it this far, especially for Joe.
Oh,
but
thank you.
Some characters live that don't live in the book. So, you know, they wrap it up a little nicer. But it was not necessary to kill these characters.
Yeah.
So it's like... I'm happy with the changes. It was good.
Yeah, I was too. I think every change they made, I thought for the most part improved the, you know, and made it more made a better film.
Yeah. I gotcha.
You know,
and 80s geeks, like, get over it that they put Minecraft and Overwatch in it. It's like, again, this is a mainstream audience.
And at this point in the timeline, Minecraft would be a 60-year-old game.
That's true.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah, it would be a retro game. At
right.
That point.
Maybe
that's
not 60, but 40,
funny
50.
To, right. Yeah. Funny to think of that way. But yeah, it's like this, I think, has something for everybody. I mean, even the little kids are going to know Minecraft. You know, the kids that are our age, like Brad loves Overwatch. There's the Overwatch character in there. And then you still have the 80s stuff that they packed in there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you still have RoboCop. You still have the Back to the Future stuff. I mean, there's plenty. 90s, you got the Jurassic Park dinosaur. So I really feel like they captured, you know, stuff from each decade going back to even older stuff that I'm sure we missed, you know?
Oh, there's all if kinds that's of, the there, King Kong there was from, no point in trying to keep up with anything yeah, right. because it was a mile a minute.
Yeah, if anything, that was my complaint, is there was they were cramming so much in that I didn't feel like I ever got a chance to slow down and take it in.
Yeah,
it will make it fun for future viewing stuff.
Yeah,
like I've got this list that I'm not even going to read, but here's an article: Ready Player One, 135 Easter eggs and references explained
so far.
100. Yeah, right. This person that wrote an article within the week of release has 135.
Yeah,
so it's going to be fun.
Yeah,
I can't wait. I think you've convinced me to go see it in 3D.
Do it in 3D, man. Yeah. It's awesome. It's so much
Maybe
fun.
Maybe I'll go with you because I do want to see it again.
You got to do it on a cheap Tuesday because Movie Pass won't cover it.
All right.
Cool. Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table. And everybody can say where to find him.
This is Brad. You can find me on ReviewSTL.com.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett and on ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, I have a feeling you'll have lots to say about this one. Join us, won't you, at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And since you're already in front of your internet delivery device, swing on by iTunes, where you can rate, review.
It's an iTown, I think.
It's an iTown now, where you can rate, review, and subscribe. So thanks for tuning in. I don't even, what's the big movie next week?
The Quiet Ones?
The Quiet Place.
Oh, Quiet Place. That looks good.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm stoked. I'm excited.
Yeah, that looks good. I've been wanting to see that one. I always say movies don't do enough creative stuff with sound. There's so many cool things that you could do with sound that they don't.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
I heard Librarian Cynthia is really excited for this movie.
Yeah. She could be the villain.
She could be. Yeah.
Shush it.
Sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's coming up on the next one. Until then, Alex is proclaimed the savior of Rylos.
Midnight at the Oasis. Send your camel to bed. Shadows painting our faces, traces of romance in our hands. Heaven's holding a half moon, shining just for us.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.